Hi, welcome to my 30th diary entry. Yay, we made it to the end. So obviously, yeah, this is my last one. It feels weird because I feel like I've gotten so used to doing these. Like after like 30 days, like a whole month pretty much, or I guess technically a little bit less than that. This kind of thing becomes a habit. So will I continue? Will I not continue? We'll see. If I do continue, it would definitely not be like as long, like as like every single day or as long, but I do like the idea of like learning something new every day and thinking about it and like having that kind of be part of my routine. So okay, sorry, I had to just pause my recording and I don't even remember what I said, but I'm just gonna whatever, keep going. I had a really hectic night last night, but it was a fun night. And then this morning, I just felt so dead and so tired. I basically been in bed all day doing schoolwork, though, because a lot of stuff is due today. But once today slash tomorrow slash probably this whole week is over, I'm done my first year, which is insane. Amazing. So I'm excited for that. But yeah, so I have to wrap this one up sort of quickly because I have other things to do. But I want to talk about somebody that is just an interesting story today. Like this story is not, you know, super deep or connected to whatever that's happening in my life or the world right now. It's just a story that I heard that I was like, dang, that's insane. So this story is about a woman. Her name is Cordelia Botkin. She was born in 1854 and she was a murderer. But like her means of murdering was quite interesting. So she's born in Missouri. She moved to California with her family later on and she married her husband. His name was Welcome Botkin, literally like the word welcome, like you're welcome, which is a very interesting name. Never heard that before. So anyways, she married this man. They were not really like vibing. They weren't, and they had a son as well, but they just like didn't really get along or didn't care for each other. They were just like in this marriage just because. So she was definitely down for some extramarital affairs, and she did have one. And in 1895, she met John Preston Dunning, and he was bicycling in San Francisco's Golden Gate Park. That's how they met. And she was 41 years old at the time, which was 9 years older than him. And both of them were already married, but Dunning really was down for her. This man was so smitten with her, really just like interested. And he was a very highly regarded reporter for the Associated Press. So, you know, we got to sprinkle some journalism in there a little bit, which is kind of a cool job. But he eventually, I think, lost his job and had all kinds of complications with work stuff. I think he drank a lot. But anyways, in 1896, Dunning's wife, whose name is Mary Elizabeth, she kind of like was upset about all the stuff that was happening with him, like how he was having affairs, because I think he had other like relationships before that or at the same time or whatever. And so she ended up leaving him and went to Dover, Delaware, to be with her daughter. So, you know, and with her daughter. So they were separated at this point. They were not together. And then Botkin and Dunning, they basically ended up dating for like 3 years, and they were in California and they were just like really into each other. But you know, Dunning was a really heavy drinker, and then yeah, he was fired by the Associated Press. He also embezzled $4,000 in office funds to pay for gambling debts. So he was let go from the newspapers that he was working at, and he was also really just drunk all the time. So he moved into the hotel that Botkin was living at. And yeah, it lasted almost 3 years until Dunning actually got rehired in 1898. So as a lead reporter for the Spanish-American War during that time. So he was going to report on that. So when he left San Francisco, because he decided like, I don't want to be in this relationship and I want to take this job. He left San Francisco and he told this, you know, Botkin that he would just not come back. He was done with it. And before he went to Cuba, he ended up actually like reconciling with his wife, who's Mary Elizabeth. So, you know, Bakken was not happy with this. She was very upset, etc. And she basically decided to kill Dunning's wife because she's like, well, if he can't be with me and he wants to be with her, like, I'm just going to end this and ruin it for both of them. So she decides to, on August 9th, 1898, open a box of candies, or sorry, send a box of candies to Elizabeth. And in those candies, which I think they were just chocolates, she wrote a letter that says, with love to yourself and baby. And she signed it Miss C, I think, like Miss and then the letter C. And Cordelia, like Botkin, knew that, knew some stuff about the wife because, you know, she was dating her husband for a while and knew things from the stories he would tell her. So she knew that his wife was really into candy and had a sweet tooth. He knew that she also had a friend, I think, that had a name starting with the letter C. And she probably thought, okay, like, she's going to get, like, I'm going to send this box of chocolates to his wife and she's going to get them and assume it's from her friend. That's name starts with C and that sign's Miss C. Meanwhile, it's Cordelia. It's Cordelia Botkin's name for real. Anyways, long story short, so she sent it, this package from California all the way to Delaware, which was poisoned with arsenic. Oh, 1 second, I gotta pause again. Okay, so I had another phone call. Sorry, I just keep getting phone calls. I'm a super busy girl. No, I'm just kidding, but like, now I can continue, and I don't even really remember exactly where I was at, but I'm gonna kind of recap slightly. So basically, Cordelia said, I'm going to kill Elizabeth and or Mary Elizabeth. And so her tactic was to buy a box of chocolates at the store. She apparently bought a half box. And the person was like, oh, why don't you want a full box? And she's like, I'm just going to like make my own recipe and like add them in there. And they're like, cool. Okay, I guess. So she did do that. She did make her own recipe and she added arsenic in there. So half of it was poisoned and half of it wasn't, I guess. That's kind of what I'm getting from this. And so she did that all what she had to do. She wrapped up the box, she wrote the letter, and she sent it by mail from California all the way to Delaware. And on August 9th, 1898, Elizabeth opened the box and she was like, ooh, like, amazing, chocolates for my friend. This is so fun. And she had dinner with people. People came over and whatever, and then she was like saving it for dessert. So she's like, after dessert they were all relaxing, and she was like, you know what, this would be a great time for some chocolate. And so she brought the candy out, the chocolate out, and passed around. And so her parents, I think, didn't have any. She had like 3 pieces, her sister had like 2 or 3 pieces, and I think like there was some kids, like neighbor kids, that like passed by and they had like 1 or 2 here and there, like, just, or no, they had 1 piece like each, they didn't have like more than that. Long story short, they all got really sick. They start throwing up and, you know, weak bodies and like just like really suffering, and they're like, what the heck is happening? This must be food poisoning. And they had some like something for meal for dinner, and they were like trying to determine in their heads like who ate that, who didn't eat that. And the dad was like, no, like it can't be food poisoning because I didn't really get affected by this. And yeah, so then Elizabeth and her sister, who had the most amount of chocolates, they actually died from the arsenic poisoning. And they both, like, it was a bad death apparently, like arsenic poisoning, like in that type of, you know, consumption, like eating it, it was like really painful, slow death, just not good. So anyways, she dies, and there was a murder trial for Cordelia not long after, because what happened was she kind of like made it really simple to, like, I feel like she didn't try to cover it that well. Her ex-lover, Dunning, who his wife was murdered just now, he was questioned about everything. They found these letters that Elizabeth had received that were like, I think more threatening and weird. And like, they thought it was him at first, but it wasn't. It was, he recognized the handwriting of Cordelia and he was like, no, like actually knows handwriting. This is Cordelia's. Then they matched that handwriting to the letter for on the box of chocolates and it was the same and everything. And so he just, you know, putting pieces and pieces together. They asked the clerk, you know, who bought the chocolates. They asked the post office, like, you know, do you remember who brought the package in? Like, they asked all these things and it all led to her. It was fairly simple. And she did have a trial. The trial also, I think people, it was very quick in the sense that people were like, yeah, pretty sure it's her, really, went for it. But she was sentenced, wait, what? So she actually had a retrial, convicted of murder. So she was convicted of murder in 1898. It was appealed and then was convicted again at a retrial in 1904. Okay, I guess I missed that part when I was watching that video, but regardless, she got convicted. So she was sentenced to life in prison, which is surprising in a way because I thought like at that time and, you know, that would be like a death penalty situation. And then she was imprisoned in San Francisco, but there was an earthquake that happened. And so she went to St. Quentin State Prison, where she died in 1910. Now, apparently St. Quentin State Prison is like horrible. Like most prison I would think is very, very bad to be in. But that one, especially, like apparently that's where, you know, all the death row people are and, you know, a lot of like crime happening within the prison and just very depressing, very strict in depressing ways. As all are all prisons, but like that one specifically. So anyways, she was very apparently depressed, like, which makes sense, you know. One, she's in prison, a good reason to be depressed. Two, she was probably still heartbroken over her relationship situation. Three, she her dad died, her former husband died, and her son died. No, wait, dad died, former husband, and son, yeah, all within like a few years where she like was in jail. So like a lot of bad things were happening. Anyways, they say that you know, depression killed her, basically, like she was just not in a good state of mind and all these things. I don't really know if like maybe like her state of mind affected her her like physical health as well, so who even knows. But she did die and she was pretty young. I think she was like 54 or 52. But yeah, that's pretty much her story. And John Dunning, his career was destroyed by everything. And he actually died 2 years earlier in Philadelphia, during the 2 years before the trial. So she was sad about that as well. So anyways, so they're all passing away, unfortunately. And that was that story. So like, I don't really have much to comment on in terms of, you know, connecting this to like society or life or what's going on right now or anything or how I feel, because it's really just like a crazy story to think that a woman, you know, poisoned some candies to her ex-lover's wife. Like, it sounds very like, I don't even know, like a fake, like fairy tale, not even a fairy tale, that's the wrong word, like almost like it'd be like, yeah, like a movie or something, I don't know. And the fact that like, also this was the first time there was a trial conducted where there was two different like districts, almost like California and Delaware had to like be a part of this case. But ultimately in California is where they did the trial. And yeah, it was like the first time in US history, first time I think as well. Oh yeah. First time where American prosecution for a crime which took place in two different jurisdictions. Okay. So that's the thing. But, and also it was like a mail like crime, like a crime done through the mail. And I think that was also a first as well, which is really random and cool. Not cool that that happened, but cool that like it was the first, and to learn about the first of anything that's very specific is always cool to me. Yeah, so that's pretty much it. She was a woman that really went all in with love, it sounds like, and you know, good for her. She did what she did and she served her time, and it's a really, yeah, it's really intense.